Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, sitting here with Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
And Venerable Tom Dorian.
Yes, sir. Hello.
And you guys, we are continuing our summer of holy matrimony. And we've had lots of
good
feedback.
What a summer it's been.
It's been a great summer, and it's still continuing.
It's the summer of love.
That's right. Well, you know.
I'm just kidding.
It is the Catholic version of the summer of love.
Yeah, the Catholic version, yes.
And it's. I think this one's much better.
Yes.
We do not recommend the other one.
No, we do not.
Ziggy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. We just lost a sponsor, ladies and gentlemen. Just went out the door. No. We love the idea of God's love and how God has revealed his love to us, and then how our marriages need to reflect beautifully that love. So we spent our last several episodes talking about the theology of marriage, and that's sort of like the underpinning, or the we'll just say the plumbing of all of our discussion that goes forward. And we're talking about now things like, people like, well, shouldn't you talk about communication at some point? And it's like, yes, we should talk about communication and marriage. In fact, that's where we'll kind of go today. And we'll land on this concept that we were made for each other. Now, when people, you know, whenever I invite a couple in to start talking about marriage preparation, they've come and they've said, hey, we want to get married. You know, and it's like, well, have you all talked about all this and this and this? And it's interesting. There's always this general take that, like, I ask, well, have you thought about this? Have you considered that? Have you thought about that? And they're like, look, we're in love. I mean, what can possibly go wrong, right? That's their, that is the mentality that people have. And you know what? There's something beautiful.
Why am I chuckling at that?
But you know what? It's beautiful. It's actually... It's beautiful and innocent to see people in love. And I think that's, by the way, just so we all are clear, one of the reasons I love being part of marriage preparation is I get to fall in love all over again with my wife. You know, I remember all the things that we did and what we went through and all. I remember those feelings again because I'm seeing this couple in front of me who are currently experiencing those feelings. And I wish the best for them. And I hope them, wish for them to have, you know, what I've had in 36 years of marriage, and, mm-hmm. and Tom, what you've had. And it's like, I do, though, think that we have to help them through some potential rough spots that they're going to encounter.
Yeah.
And they don't see those rough spots at this stage. Mm-hmm. Not even at all. Not even the least. You know, you stop and think about it, and you think about your own experience. Tom, do you remember, like the very beginning, like first couple of times you met Cindy, to Cindy, whatever. And then once you started talking, once you exchanged numbers, I don't think, they didn't have cell phones back then. We had to do smoke signals and stuff, you know, with fires. But, you know, you would call each other, mm-hmm. and you could sit and you could talk for hours upon end. If you went somewhere and had a cup of coffee or went out and had a McDonald's French fries, that was my thing with Bess. You know, we would go have McDonald's French fries. We'd skip class in college and we'd go have McDonald's French fries. Anyway. I still recommend that, by the way.
That explains a lot, by the way.
It does. you remember those times where you could sit for hours. In fact, you'd wish that, like, the time would never, like, the French fries would never end.
Yeah.
Or the coffee would be a bottomless cup.
Oh, yeah.
And that you could sit there for hours, and you were just totally, like, and you weren't, like, you know, just, like, gaga over there. You weren't, like, in some kind of trance, but you were just... Nothing. There were no problems. There were no issues.
Right.
Everything was just positive.
Right.
Right. And that's a beautiful side of communication, but it's not an authentic and real side, because that's the way. Not the way that sort of honeymoon or that sort of
infatuation.
Infatuation is a great way to put it. Is not going to last forever.
Right.
Right. The thing that attracted you to, you know, Tom, your extreme good looks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Your manliness.
I get
all
that
stuff.
Lot.
Yeah. I'm sure you do. You know, and
just kidding.
Yeah, I was just gonna let you say something, but no, but you know, no matter what you do, whatever you say, it's the funniest thing that they ever heard,
right?
And vice versa, you know. And you're only thinking
don't
of positive
get that
things. No, you don't. No. It doesn't happen that way anymore. But the whole point is, like,
you know, even back then, at the beginning, you're not gonna ruin it. You don't want to ruin it, mm-hmm. right? So what you don't want to do is like, hey, I know, let's talk about something very divisive, like, you know, are you a Democrat or a Republican?
Right.
You know, are you know, do you think this is good or that's good, or what do you like? What do you think about that? What do you think about religion?
Right.
What do you think about, does God exist? And, you know, you don't want to ask these deep questions. Now, some people have relationships where they start off that way. Maybe they're attracted mm-hmm. to each other because they have they're like-minded. But for most of us, it's like, I want to be next to that pretty girl who's funny and bright and cheery and
right.
I want to be there. You know, that's what I thought. You know, and I hope she thought the same thing. But the reality is, you don't want to like. Let's think of things that could divide us. How many kids do you want to have?
Right.
Lord knows, if I'd have asked her, I might have left her early on.
That's true.
Bess is one of 15. She's one of 15 kids. And if I'd have said, how many kids do you want to have? And she said, oh, not 15. I'd be like, oh, thank goodness. I'm just thinking like 10, 9, 10. And I'm like, that might have scared me away. So maybe it was divine intervention that I didn't ask those questions. But we don't want to divide. We don't want to have all these things that are going to be controversial. So we don't usually... Right. Talk about world issues and politics and religion and wars and mm-hmm. and where do you stand on this to try to find differences. We're really just looking for things that
we like together.
Yeah. Right? And we're going to hone in on those. So that's the way communication starts in a relationship, mm-hmm. typically. Mm-hmm. Not always, but typically. The problem is, eventually, just by nature, these things are going to start to come up.
Right.
How many kids you want to have, and what kind of job are you doing, and what do you think about this thing on the world political stage, and mm-hmm. all these kind of things, and world hunger. Where are you at on all these different issues, and do you go to mass every Sunday, or do you go to any church? You know, do you believe in God? These things are going to come up. They have to, by their very nature, by the nature of marriage, they're going to come up. And so communication is very, very important, especially transitioning into, you know, when you're in that courting stage, you know, you need to realize that at some point in time, especially in marriage prep, I'd start talking about, like, look, authentic communication is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And you're going to need to start to do that, because you need to start to have these conversations. Hey, listen, better now than later. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I can tell you this, at the end of the day, how important communication is to the one flesh relationship. It's vital. It's just absolutely vital. And I guarantee you this, in every situation where I've had some kind of counseling relationship with a couple that was struggling, or someone who has gotten a divorce, in every situation like that, communication plays a major role. In fact, I should say it this way, lack of communication.
Yeah, the breakdown.
There's a breakdown in communication. You're not communicating, mm-hmm. right? And that's... And I think that's, you know, can be utilized by, we'll just say, the evil one.
Oh, and in fact, there's a prominent exorcist who he gives an example. He says, okay, so you have a husband and wife that are, you know, the wife is woken up early because it's the husband's birthday, and she wants to get up and make him a really nice breakfast in bed to surprise him, right? And so she says to him while he's still in bed, "When are you going to get up?" And what he hears while he's still sleeping,
You're lazy. Get up out of bed.
Right, exactly. And so he gets mad. Little does he know that she's actually trying to, like, surprise him with really something positive. And with this
hot breakfast.
Hot breakfast. And this exorcist, he's saying, like, this is actually, like, the primary way that the devil attacks marriages. And in fact, also, I can link this. There's a study of marriage counselors. This was like 20 years ago or something like that, where they it was a very interesting study, because what they did is they studied the speech patterns of successful marriages and the speech patterns of unsuccessful marriages.
I'm scared.
To say, like, what sort of patterns are the most determinative as to this is a couple that's built for success and this is one that's going to end in divorce. Invariably, the ones that were most likely to end in divorce were ones where they said that they know their spouse perfectly. Where, oh, well, I know when he says this, he means this. Or when she says this, she means this. Whereas the ones who were the most successful were receiving each other in mystery. Saying, you know what? We've been married decades, and I'm still getting to know my wife, or I'm still getting to know my
husband.
My
wife still buys the wrong Pop-Tarts. Okay, I'm just going to say it. I'm teasing Bess. I'm so sorry. It was a joke at your expense, and it should not have been.
but receiving one another in mystery, we've talked about this before on the show, that when we put a person in a box, and when we say, when you do this or you say this, what you're really doing is you're trying to communicate this sort of...
That's a kind of ownership.
Yes.
Like you are owning them.
Right.
By saying, I know what you... You know, I already know what you're going to say. It's like, well, why don't you let me say it? Because you don't know.
Right, right.
I want a divorce, you know?
And if
it's terrible.
And if we take sort of, you know, it's not a surprise that the word very precious to us as Catholics, communion, right, and communication are one and the same. And if we approach communion in this way where we are receiving our Lord, we are receiving the other as gift, if we are entering into communication with a desire for communion, which is a desire for, yes, an intimate relationship, but one where we are receiving one another as gift and receiving one another in mystery, just as we receive our Lord in mystery. Because at the end of the day, you know, our Lord can work through anybody. He's created all of us to be channels of his love, you know, and he moves in mystery, and he can move in mystery through one another. And if we're not grounded by that, and instead we're because it can come from a place of a desire for control, sort of that pride of saying, like, I can box this person in and I can define them based on their past and I don't have to hear anything else.
Even if you're not consciously thinking that, that's what you're doing. And it also can be perceived that way.
Yes.
Right. And we don't want that. And I love that you bring up the mystery part, receiving your spouse in mystery, because at the end of the day, remember, we started this whole thing off with Trinitarian love, and the Trinity is the greatest Christian mystery that there is. And so, you know, just that idea of we know that there's love, but we can't quantify every aspect of it, and so it becomes this sort of newfound discovery every day that we're continually, we remain alive in love. And that's one of the beautiful things I think that Bess and I have, and I'm sure Tom, you and Cindy have, where that every day is like this sort of like, I wonder what's going to happen today. And, you know, and it's not like we live in fear that something's going to end, because we have this communication that allows us to recognize where there might be issues. You know, it doesn't mean we don't stumble it from time to time, but the reality is, communication is at the heart of this, and I want to be clear, and what we're going to kind of move into here is, in this section of communication, is it's not just talking it out. It's not just words, right? I want to talk now about this idea that there is a spousal meaning of the body, right? That we were actually made for each other, and that includes the physicality, right? That includes the physicality of our being, but also like the mental, emotional, spiritual aspects that allow us to be different. That there's something about the way we were made that puts us together in a unique way. Because remember, we're one flesh. The husband and the wife become one flesh. And so it's not that, like, you know, if two right-handed people get married, there's only right-handed stuff going on there, or left-handed. But it's not quite so physical as that. But I do, there is a beautiful connectivity. And really the way I like to look at it and talk about it is this idea that we were made as spouses to be together. If you look at the word spouse and where that came from, we just mean like a spouse is like, well, that means a husband or a wife, right? Yeah, it does. But what is that? Where does that word spouse come from? You know, it has a Latin and also there's a Greek root to it. But the Latin part of it is this spondere, which essentially means to betroth or to vow, to give oneself, right? And then it also is tied to the Greek, it's related to the Greek word spendane, which I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly. And there's like Greek scholars out there going like, idiot. You know, how do you say idiot in Greek? I don't know, but that's what they're saying right now. But anyway, spendane, and what that word means essentially is to pour out as a libation, and a libation essentially is an offering to God, right? And so it's like, think about the word spouse now. it's a betrothal or a promise to each other to pour each other out to one another as a libation, as an offering to God, giving yourselves to God through each other. And there's something beautiful about that. And the requirement of spouses to be, you know, his and her, mm-hmm. right? To be the two parts. Now, I'm going to tell you about something that I think many of you probably have seen, but I'm not recommending this movie because, you know, Hollywood is not necessarily the best example of how we should live our lives. but there's a movie called Jerry Maguire. It's Tom Cruise and Renee Zellweger, and he's like a sports agent. It's a classic sports flick, but I will just say that the first 5 minutes starts with a not so wholesome scene at the beginning of it. So I'm not recommending this movie. But I think a lot of people are familiar with what happens in this movie, specifically because of a scene at the end of the movie where Tom Cruise, who's a sports agent, he claims, in why he's so successful, he claims that he does his best work in the living room, like when he's closing a deal with a prospective or a prospect, a sports, you know, some kid in college trying to go into pros, or maybe some kid in high school going into college, and he'll sit with them and he can convince them of things. And so he ends up having a love interest in Renee Zellweger. They end up like flourishing a little bit, like in all love movies, then they fall apart, and then he tries to win the girl back, and he ends up back in the living room. And he ends up coming into this living room where she is with her girlfriends, her sister, and friends, and they're all eating ice cream, and they're crying and supporting her. And then this man walks into the center of this. And then he says, hello, you know, and he starts his pitch to get her back. And he starts this thing, and he goes, and he ends up this pitch with the famous words that we've all heard, "You complete me." He says, "You complete me." And then the end of that story is she comes back to him, and she's very, you know, happy. And she said, "You had me at hello." So it's a little romantic thing. But the reality is, this is the one time I think Hollywood has gotten relationships correct. You know, you complete me. You know, as spouses, I'm only hoping that they got married, you know, in Jerry Maguire 2. I don't know if that was ever made. But the point is that the man completes the woman, and the woman completes the man. Remember back in Adam and Eve, like the woman is taken from the side of man to complete him, right? He is incomplete without her. And so it's important to see that relationship. And then you look at how we were joyfully and wonderfully made. And this one, I think most of us understand this concept, but it's really important for us to see this. And when I'm preparing couples for marriage, I want them to see this this understanding that we are made for each other. Mm-hmm. And you can even look at our physicality, right? How we are made. The male body and the female body are different. Now, I don't have to go into the differences mm-hmm. in terms of the physical differences, because we all are aware of those, right? We understand that. But and how our bodies fit together, how they're meant to be together. There's something beautiful about that. And there's a complete, they complement each other, right? Well, understand this also. So like let's look at the male for a second. The male he's obviously masculine, right? He's not feminine. He's masculine. He's physically bigger and stronger. Now, there's some big girls out there, right? There are. But there's some small men. Right?
Yes.
There are exceptions to this. There are people that tend more towards one to the other. Thank you for trying to save me over there, Tom. Hey, Deacon Jeff, you shouldn't say there's big girls out there. But you know what I'm saying.
You're going to get mail now, dude.
Yeah, there's some big-boned girls. All right, I'm going to say it. No, my point is there's fluctuation in how we're created.
Right.
There's just all the wonderment and amazement of, like, the mystery of how we're created. But generally, we tend towards these things. Men are more masculine. Men are physically bigger and stronger. They have a larger bone structure. They have a higher metabolism. They have increased stamina. They're task-oriented, right? We have a one-track, more focused mind, okay? They're good. That makes them good protectors. They're hunter-gatherers. They have this is interesting. They have a larger amygdala, right? Which, that's the part of the brain responsible for sexual desire. And like sort of focus on task, mm-hmm. right? And so we have a drive. We are driven to do things as men. And it just means that we, all of those things are what men typically do. And you can look at that and go, like, that's toxic masculinity. No, it's just masculinity. It's how we were made. We were designed that way, mm-hmm. right? And you can deny biology, but it's the reality, mm-hmm. okay? Well, on the flip side of that, females, right? They're feminine, obviously the connection female and feminine, but they've got a womb and the ability to nurse. Like, so that means they are more nurturing. They're more gifted at caring for the family. They are physically able to receive others, right? Their very bone structure, like how their hips are. You can look at some bones that were dug up that are a couple thousand years old, mm-hmm. and you can tell whether it's a male or female.
Right?
They're made differently, right? And this physical ability to receive is also makes them more welcoming. They're more people persons. They have a larger limbic cortex, and that's the part of the brain that is responsible for emotion, right? They also have a higher capacity for emotion and feeling that makes them better at multitasking, right? They're better at seeing the big picture. They're better at handling complex, multi-layered situations, which means they can do many things at once. And you sit there and think about that, like, we're just made different, right? Mm-hmm. I saw a comedian one time talk about, he said, men have boxes for brains.
Right.
We have little boxes. Well, this is my toolbox. This is my football box.
Right.
This is my, you know, my sex drive box, whatever. And it's like you're in one box at a time. You don't get to be in multiple boxes. Mm-hmm. Women have spaghetti brains, and that's not a diss. That's actually a compliment. Everything is interconnected. Everything is connected. Mm-hmm. But essentially, if you stop and think about it, these differences, and I do not, at the very least, so if anybody's been offended by, like, oh, well, this is very sexist or whatever, we hear those words all the time in modern culture, but we cannot deny our physical presence. And I'm not saying that women need to be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is that men are made a certain way and women are made a certain way where we tend towards things, which makes us tend towards attitudes, tend towards desires, tend towards things that we do or we feel comfortable in doing or driven to do. And the reality is when you put that thing with the opposite thing or the other, the complement, mm-hmm. right? When you put the man and the woman together, we are different, but we are, when we're together, we're stronger together.
Yeah.
And there's a great gift. It's incorrect to say that, like, that men are superior to women. It is incorrect. That's wrong. The church doesn't teach that, right? Mm-hmm. There are some things that men are better than at women. Mm-hmm. There are some things that are women are better that at than men. Mm-hmm. But what I can say is that together we're better together.
Yep.
Right. And so that complementarity is something that's beautiful. But again, it's because we were designed that way. We were made that way. And so everything, when we start to talk about communication, as we go forward in this kind of a discussion, we start to realize that there is a, hopefully we see in this that there is a spousal meaning in our body, mm-hmm. that we were designed to be together, to be our best when with our complement, mm-hmm. right? Better, stronger, faster, like the $6 million man or woman.
Yeah.
Right? And the thing there is, I think a lot of people mistake that for, you know, archaic thought processes about, you know, men are superior, because they're not. There are things my wife does so much better than me.
Right.
Right? And she's capable of so many things that I'm not capable of. Mm-hmm. And what I hope and desire is that I always realize the things that I think that I'm more gifted at. Mm-hmm. And then together, we put those together and it's a beautiful relationship.
It is.
Right? And so marriage should be that. It is not neither should dominate the experience, whatever the experience is. And that's hard for some people to hear, but it's also, I think it's important in this day and age when people are trying to masculinize women and emasculate men and feminize, defeminize women, right? Some of the feminist movement, mm-hmm. can be that way. And it's like when we take away the differences in the sexes and how we're created and made, we actually are, it becomes destructive, right? To who we are, who we were called to be. And what's so beautiful about marriage is essentially the flourishing and the epitome of each of the spouses. Mm-hmm. And it makes you the fullest of who God made you to be in your complement. Because in your complement, it's not that opposites. It's not that you're opposite. It's that you complement. That together, you work together. The old two heads are better than one understanding, like in corporate, you know, in corporate culture.
Right.
You know, let's get a think tank on this thing together. Well, in marriage, everything that you approach, everything that comes from the outside to destroy the marriage, every bad thing that you have to encounter, you're able to deal with it better than together than you are separately.
Right.
And right. And then when you have that, when you are separate, when you separate, you create artificial differences, and then the marriage folds.
Right.
Right. It can't survive. Mm-hmm. And as Sam mentioned a few minutes ago, that's exactly what Satan wants.
Oh, yeah.
He does not want strong marriages.
He's about division.
Right. He doesn't want strong men. He doesn't want strong women. He doesn't want men who are vulnerable and open to emotion and feeling. And he doesn't want women, you know, who are nothing but like sapped of their any kind of strength. And it's like he wants this, has this, I'm going to tear these people apart.
Which is why Our Lady of Fatima is such an important devotion to protect our families.
Amen. In fact, we look at all of this, as we continue down this path of communication, we're gonna move into the marital embrace, the sexual union between man and wife, and we're also going to talk about just like aspects of communication as we go forward. But we should always remember that the Blessed Mother loves us. She's our mother. She's the mother of our marriages as well, and wants us to stay together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at The Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.